peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Mark 1. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and Jesus went to her. He took her hand and raised her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, dear friends in Christ. Straight from the synagogue, where we saw last week Jesus exorcised a demon simply by the power of his word, Jesus now heads to the home of Simon and Andrew, where Simon's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. Probably just a 24-hour bug, so, as you would expect, a little rest, a little chicken soup, plenty of fluids, and she should be just fine. It's really not that big of a deal compared to all of the diseased and demon-possessed and dying that are outside of the house trying to get a miracle from Jesus while the getting's good. And yet in that little house, Jesus is completely there for this woman with the flu. He comes to her bedside, bends down, takes her by the hand, and raises her up. He doesn't even say a word. At that moment, it's as though there was no one else in the whole world but this woman. And when you're in need and you cry out to Jesus, he will come to your side as if there were no one else in the world but you. This is the kind of Savior we have. To Jesus, you're not just a statistic, a number, or a nameless patient. You matter to Jesus. And in Jesus, we have a gentle healer and a great physician who still makes house calls whenever we need his help and healing, whether physical or spiritual. In this case, Jesus heals her with just a touch. He just gently takes her hand and raises her up, and immediately the fever left her without even a word. Simply Jesus' touch and the fever is gone. Now, I want you to note a couple of Greek words here. The Greek word for raised her up is the same Greek word used of Jesus' resurrection on Easter morning and of our resurrection on the last day. Now, that does not mean that Simon's mother-in-law was dead, but what it does mean is that her rising from this sickness is a preview of coming attractions when Jesus raises us from death itself. Jesus raised this woman from her bed, and he's going to raise you from the dead. But there's another interesting word here. The Greek word literally says Jesus forgave or sent away her fever. It's the same Greek word used in Leviticus 19 when all the sins of all the people were placed on the scapegoat. The scapegoat was driven out into the wilderness on the Day of Atonement, never to be seen or heard from again, because their sins were forgiven and remembered no more. It's also the same word used for sending away or forgiving our sins. We often like to put things in nice, neat little boxes. We think our diseases belong in one box, sin belongs in another box, guilt belongs in another box, and judgment belongs in yet another. But wait. The fact is that fevers and flus, cancers and COVID, plagues and pestilences, diseases and death never existed in the world until Adam and Eve sinned. Every sin and sickness are intimately connected. Now, that doesn't mean that you've committed a particular sin that caused God to send a particular illness, but there's an intimate connection between all sin and all suffering. The corporate guilt of this world has made this world to be filled with pain and suffering, disease and sickness and death. So, how should we understand it when it says Jesus forgave her fever? Well, the good news is that Jesus both forgives our sins and the symptoms and brokenness of our sin. It's a whole package. It's a holistic healing. Or you could say he sends away both our sins and the consequences of our sin. And so now the word gets out that Jesus is at the home of Simon's mother-in-law. And by sundown, when the Sabbath ended at 6 p.m., that's when the Jewish Sabbath ended, 6 p.m. on Saturday, people started coming out of the woodwork. People came on crutches and carts or carried on mats. Demonized people spitting, cursing, foaming at the mouth. People with horrible, disfiguring diseases like leprosy. Other people with contagious and deadly diseases. And it wasn't long before the front lawn looked like a trauma center or a triage unit or an episode of ER. It looked like a living hell. For in hell, all the unbelievers will forever face the full effects of their sin, including diseases and disfigurement, pain and suffering, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and a death that never ends. Still, Jesus doesn't want anyone to face the hell of their sins, so that's why he heals the diseased, casts out demons, and raises the dead. It's not that miracles save us, but the point is, through the miracles, he's setting the whole world on notice that the Savior of the world has arrived. And he's come to save us in every way that we can be saved. He's also showing us that the healing we need the most is to be forgiven for our sins, because sin is ultimately the cause of all sickness and suffering. And when Jesus raises us with the forgiveness of sins, oftentimes, maybe not always, but oftentimes healing follows physically. Now, God doesn't promise that we'll never get sick again or never die again. We will, because we still have sin in the members of our body, because the world is still cursed and filled with sin. The unbelieving world tries to convince us that pain and suffering, disease and death are just a normal part of the circle of life. They are not. They're the result of sin. They're an intrusion into God's perfect plan. You see, God created everything perfect at the beginning, and there was no sickness or death. And he's going to make everything perfect again at the end, and there will be no suffering or death. And all of the pain and sickness and death we experience between those two endpoints are an intrusion into God's perfect plan, not caused by God, but caused by our sin. We've often been trained by science and the world to only look for natural causes to our sickness, suffering, and death, and to natural solutions. Therefore, we don't want to look to our sin as a cause of sickness, and we don't want to look to Jesus as a solution to sickness. But wait a minute, there's nothing natural about death or sickness. Sickness may be common, but it's not natural. Death may be universal, but it's not natural. When our fever ends, the flu goes away, or the COVID breaks, we often give credit to the pills we took, the vitamin B shot we got, our immune system, or the doctor's skill. But Paul gives credit where credit is due in Philippians 4. And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. Doctors, nurses, and medicines are gifts of God. They are tools in the toolbox of our great physician. But it is finally the great physician who heals us. He's the one that keeps our vital organs going. He's the one that keeps our blood flowing. He's the one that keeps our heart beating and our synapses in our brain working, so that the body that he has blessed us with can use the treatments and nurse and medicines from the doctors to be restored by the healing hand of the great physician. It is finally Jesus who heals us. In Psalm 103, we read, and I want you to tuck this one away, the Lord forgives all your sins, and he heals all your diseases. You know what I think it means when it says he heals all our diseases? I think it means he heals all of our diseases. And now it's at this point that people, even Christians, will say, well, see, now here's why I got a problem with the Bible. Because you say he heals all our diseases. And I got to tell you, Pastor, I'm sitting in church right now, today, this moment, and I'm suffering with either this sickness or this disease. Well, I'm here to tell you that God means what he says. He heals all our diseases. But what people forget is he has, shall we say, two main ways to heal us. He can either heal us minimally on this side of heaven, but we'll get sick again and one day die because we're still sinners. or he can heal us maximally by taking us home to heaven and giving us his full and forever healing. But one way or the other, he is going to heal all of his children and totally. Jesus healed many that night. He worked the late shift in the ER. And when he was done, we're told he was exhausted, so he went off to pray. But he oftentimes found it hard for a little solace. His disciples found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." And then he says something unusual. "Let us go to the next town so that I can preach there also." Although Jesus healed many in Capernaum, he did not heal all the diseased. He did not heal all the demon-possessed. And he went on his way to the next town to preach. Why is this? Here's why. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not miracles, not healings. For by grace are ye saved through faith." Or in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the words of Christ. The enemy behind all of our sickness and suffering, disease and death is our sin. And the only way that you can be healed from sin is through Jesus' blood. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Our priorities are often upside down. We want band-aids, happy pills, and quick fixes. We want miracles, not sermons, results, not preaching. But the truth is, every sickness, disease, whatever, it flows from sin. And the Bible says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Miracles and healings don't save you. Jesus saves you. And when he saves you, he comes to set you free. And spiritually, you are set free totally in Christ, even at this moment, by faith. You're totally free from your enemy's hold of sin, death, and the devil. Totally free through faith in Christ. But yet, those enemies still exist, and they will still attack you. Yes, every disease is a sign of our fall into sin, and every illness, whether little colds or big flus, are a preview of the death we deserve. They are mirrors of our mortality. However, and more importantly, every healing that you receive, even if it's from just a cold, is a picture or a reminder of your being resurrected on the last day. Every healing is a little resurrection, a reminder that the one who forgave my sin by his death on the cross will one day set me free from all of sin's consequences forever. Jesus' healing is already ours by faith. We're already forgiven and alive to die no more. Isaiah 53 says, "By his wounds we are healed," present tense. We're just waiting for the fullness of our healing to be revealed when Jesus comes again and raises us gloriously. Yes, we should pray to God when we're sick and suffering. We should ask him to heal our sicknesses and diseases. He tells us to in 1 Peter 5, "Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you." Jesus wants us to pray in all circumstances, but he also teaches us how to pray. "Thy will be done." You see, Jesus knows how much pain and suffering that you and I need to face to keep us humbly trusting in Jesus alone to save us. At times, he may permit us to get sick. He may allow an illness or an accident to touch our lives so that in our weakness, we finally come to the realization, you know, my life is hidden with God in Christ. And he finally is my life and the only life I have. Now, you may say, but if Jesus didn't let us get sick, then we wouldn't have to hold on to him so tightly. That is precisely the point and the danger. If he doesn't let you get sick at times, you won't hold on to him so tightly. So God uses our sufferings to drive us back to our Savior. Luther once said, if Jesus has to lay you in a hospital to get you up to look to heaven again, he'll lay you in a hospital. You see, even if Jesus heals us, we are going to get sick again. For even though we are forgiven for all of our sins, we still have sin in the members of our body until the day we die. But God will one day get rid of our sin entirely by letting his children fall asleep in death. The fact is, Peter's mother-in-law did get sick again. There would be other flus and fevers and viruses until one day she died also. And you and I will one day die too, no matter how many times Jesus heals us. But for a Christian, death is never the final outcome. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our resurrection is finally the maximal healing Jesus wants to and will give all those who trust in Him. We need to keep that in mind when we pray. For if you insist that Jesus must always heal you of every sickness and every disease without exception, or you won't believe in Him, whether you realize it or not, you're actually praying that the Lord would not take you home to heaven, but that He'd let you live here forever in this valley of the shadow of death, which is not God's final will. You need to realize that, because there are times where a loved one dies, and we do sorrow and we do grieve. There's nothing wrong with that. But I've seen people who blame God, and they didn't ever want to trust in God again because He let their loved one die. And see, what we're forgetting is that other major point. He's got two ways to heal us. One way is on this side of heaven, and one way is by taking us home to heaven. And if He heals us on this side of heaven, that's what we often want and like, but that's just His minimal healing, from which we are going to get sick again and die. When He takes us home to heaven, that's His maximal healing, from which we will never get sick again and never die again. When you look at it like that, it makes the second healing so much more valuable. All of those diseased, demonized, and dying people Jesus healed one day died and with something else, and so will you. But death is never the final outcome for a child of God. Romans 8, neither life nor death nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. The same Jesus who healed the people with just a touch, cast out demons with just a word, raised dead bodies back to life, is the same Jesus who bore all of our sins in His body on the tree, and by His wounds we are healed. Now by faith, one day by resurrection, Jesus checked into His grave dead, after paying for every sin we ever did wrong, and He checked back out of His grave alive, having conquered our death. And Jesus tells us the significance, because I live, you will live also. When God says in Psalm 103, He heals all your diseases, He means it. He'll heal you either on this side of heaven with a temporary healing, or He'll heal you when He takes you home with a permanent healing. Which means what? And I want to be sure you get this. It means that God's answer to all of our prayers for healing is always yes for a child of God, either now or when He takes us home. One day Jesus will reach down to you as He did with Simon's mother-in-law. He'll take you by the hand and raise you up from your grave instead of your bed. And on that day, every prayer you ever uttered for healing will find their yes and amen in the resurrection. We're already healed by Jesus' cleansing blood in our baptism. We're just waiting for the fullness of that healing to catch up with our baptism. You're already healed by Jesus' word. He first told the paralytic in Mark 2, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven, because that's the most important healing. And then He said, oh, by the way, I'm going to take care of the consequences of your sin also. Now pick up your mat and go home, and He did. By the power of His word, Jesus forgave not only our sin, but also every fever, flu, and consequence of our sin. We're already healed through the medicine of immortality and the holy remedy by which we conquered death of Christ's body and blood given in the Lord's Supper. And so, until our final healing, we cling to our great physician, Jesus Christ, who tells us in Isaiah 40, even youth will faint and grow weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That glorious day is on the way. All in Jesus.